Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, wake up. Hey, Jeremy. Jeremy, we gotta record the podcast. Jeremy.
What? What?
Hey, Jeremy.
I'm awake.
Jeremy.
What?
Get out of bed. We gotta record the podcast.
Again?
Yeah. We do it every week.
Okay.
Come on. Get out of bed.
Just let me get, I don't know, green tea or something.
I know. I already made you your green tea. It's right here.
Start the theme song. I'll be there in a minute.
No. You gotta get up. I know that if I leave you here, you're just gonna fall right back asleep.
I'm getting up.
No, I need to see you stand up. I need to see you stand up.
Yeah, there I'm standing up.
All right. Here's your green tea.
Thank you.
Let's go. Welcome back from the land of beyond.
Yeah. Back from China. Totally time disoriented.
Oh yeah, no, it must be a rough time for you.
Yeah, it's I thought I was okay. I thought yesterday.
Yeah.
I slept for 10 hours straight. I went to bed at midnight. I woke up at 10. I was like, "Great, I'm back on a regular schedule.
I'm doing it."
But I was wrong, Kevin. I was so wrong.
So you're still inverted?
Yeah. No, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to bed at midnight again today and get like as regular a schedule as I can. Nope. Went to bed, tried to go to sleep, didn't go to sleep until like 6 a.m.
No, I had that when I went to India, like when you're in that place where it's like almost 12 hours.
Yeah.
Or 12 hours difference.
It's 14 from China.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just like, oh, I am now asleep when I should be awake and awake when I should be asleep. And
yeah,
I can't do this. And then, like, you explode from the inside.
You're trying so hard to fix it. So hard to fix it.
I like the idea that like as a human being, you want to fix it, but your body just like, no.
Yeah, my body was like, no, I just got used to the other way.
I know this is the way you live for most of your life, but I changed my mind. I like that place.
I feel like if I had been in China for longer and my body had actually acclimatized to it, when I came back, I would have had a better time. But instead, I was like halfway acclimatized.
Your body was like partway through moving, and you're like, body, no, don't do this. You know we're going back. It's like, I'm going to change everything.
Yeah. Also, it's because, like, while I was there, I got up at 5 a.m. every single day because I had shit to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, that you're waking up early now? Great.
I will say, like, I always find that when I go traveling to places that maybe it does a big, shift with you know, my body clock or something, but I always get up better. Like, it's rougher for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But I usually find that the mornings are better for me.
I actually have like a straight out formula for what my tired is like when I was over there.
All right.
Get up at 5. Oh, it's 5 a.m. That's not too bad. Have a shower. Eat something. 7 o'clock. I am the most tired person in the world. I'm so tired. 9 o'clock. Hey, it's not so bad. I'm okay. 11 o'clock. Oh, God, I'm so tired. Why did I do this to myself? Why? 1 o'clock. Oh, I'm okay. And then I'm okay till about 6 a.m. And then it's like, why are you still awake? You've been up for 3 days.
Man, what a roller coaster of alertness.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. It's the best way to put it.
All right, let's do our topic. Let's do an episode.
Do some funnies.
Let's do some funnies.
Let's make like Sunday and be funny.
What?
Because the funny comics, the funnies.
Oh, the comics come out every day.
Yeah,
but Sunday's ones are bigger.
Okay.
Also, with the decline in paper newspapers, you could say that the newspaper comic industry is also floundering, and a lot of things now are web comics, which usually I find update Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Cool.
Thanks for ruining my joke.
This episode is about sitcoms.
It is.
Yeah.
Specifically, how every single week things reset.
Yeah.
There's a social order in place. And it resets. Now, we are aware that sometimes,
if something is strong enough,
it can break through that and keep going. Like in Friends.
Yeah.
When Chandler and Monica got together.
That broke it.
That broke it.
Yeah. But when you get, like, you know, the solid, pure sitcoms, it tends to be that, like, something will happen that week, but the status quo will have to be regained by the end of the episode. And I know sometimes the episodes last longer. I find usually they tend to say that they are a week.
Yeah.
So we're just going to go with a week.
Yes. So basically you have a week, and if nothing significant changes, the social order resets.
Which, like, I can imagine some people trying to rebel against that by being like, we need to change something, and all we have is 7 days.
I don't think people are aware of it.
You don't think so?
Well, no, why would you be? Right? Like, if that's the way the world works.
Okay, so, well, I guess, yeah, because it's not like it snaps back at, you know, Sunday at midnight.
Yeah, it's also something I don't think really has a lot of effect until you reach adulthood. Right? Like, if you think about your life as a child,
yeah,
the days are, one, quite similar, and two, big things happen to you all the fucking time because you have no experience.
Okay, so, and those things just break through.
They break through. So probably some stuff is changing a little bit every week when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Probably slows down once you reach, like, 17, 18.
All right, all
right. Right? But then, like, if you go to university, that's another big thing.
I just like the idea that because this is, like, a cosmic constant.
Yeah.
Once again, it's not that everything snaps back and it's like, time has reversed upon itself.
No, your attitudes towards your friends and enemies have reset.
Yeah, so it's like a gradual type thing.
Yeah.
That, like, even if someone is, like, nice to you that week who's, you know, usually a jerk, you're like, oh, thank you for helping me. I guess you're not so bad. And then you slowly go, like, no, I hate them.
There are episodes where Jerry and Newman work together, but it doesn't matter because the next week, Jerry still hates Newman.
Newman. Yes, exactly. It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seinfeld's a pretty good example of it because there's not a whole lot of, like...
Seinfeld is notorious for it.
Yeah.
Those characters do not grow.
Yeah. Okay. Like,
the character that has the most movement is George. But his movement is like, I almost got to happiness, and then he's horrible again.
Oh, man. So the interesting thing is that growth becomes incredibly, like, personal growth becomes incredibly hard.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
So I don't know if people, it's something that people focus on as much.
I mean,
what's it, cosmic standard, like the energy of the universe, whatever bullshit you want to call it.
It pulls people back to an equilibrium.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. If there's shades of gray, there will always be those shades of gray.
So really, first impressions are way more important.
Yeah. And I guess
if you meet your boss, you go to work on the first day and you accidentally fall into the toilet and your pants are wet so that people can see the poop in your pants.
Wait, what?
I don't know. I'm tired. Just go with me on this, Kevin.
Okay.
You have a really bad first day of work.
Take me on a journey.
Your boss is going to hate you the entire time.
You walk in, you're all goofy, and you, like, slap them in the face with a fish accidentally.
Yeah, people don't like that.
No,
it's
no,
not
people
a funny
don't,
thing.
No, people don't like that.
Unless you're in Finland.
Yeah, Finland, known for.
It's the country for me.
It is the country. All right, so first impressions become a lot more important, which I think means people focus a lot more on first impressions.
That being said, first impressions only matter if you're going to continually see this person on a regular basis.
Or else you're a non-entity to them.
Yeah. Like,
huh.
Well, otherwise it just resets back to an equilibrium of you not know, like, caring or knowing about each other.
I guess.
Right?
I guess, yeah. I mean, the
perfect example of it is this. There are two people in Seinfeld that sort of skirt around this, and one eventually folds over,
yep.
And the other one just disappears into the ether. The first one is the soup Nazi.
Okay.
Right? In the beginning, he's just this, like, periphery guy who does soup.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of episodes before they even mention him.
Yeah.
They just ignore him. But eventually, something happens, and he becomes a recurring character.
Okay.
Where they recognize him, and they have problems with him. And he even will, like, say his line as a joke to back them up sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, he becomes part of their social order.
Yes. All right.
The other one is the guy at the jerks from the jerk store.
Okay.
Right? They get mad at him once.
Yeah.
And it's a big thing, and people loved it. And they, like, sort of reference him a little bit. And then, nope, that's gone forever. Just floats away into the ether.
Okay. So, if you are seeing them consistently, then you could potentially, as you said, become part of their social... So,
if you go to a coffee shop every week, and there's a barista there that works every day, that barista will probably eventually become part of your social order. But only if they're interesting enough.
Well, yeah, I mean, because like, sometimes they just get customers. Even if they see them every day, it doesn't mean they're part of the social order.
Yeah.
They're just extras.
They're just extras.
So is this the sort of thing where, like, I'm gonna keep going on this tangent of extras, that you have extras in your life?
Yeah, but they're real people.
Yeah, they're real people. So for other people, they're main characters, and you're an extra.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's all about perspective.
It is about perspective.
But once again, no one's feelings on anyone else changes, and there's no personal growth.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I feel like this is what people already do on Facebook a little bit, right? Like, they have 300, 400 friends.
Yeah.
And really, they interact with, like, 5 or 6.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you can see when, you know, like people are changing every single day. The important thing about with this, like, idea and this world is that people will not change.
Oh, I just realized something horrible.
Yeah?
Like, if you crush on somebody, that crush is never going away as long as they're in your life.
No, you either have to get rid of them or go away from them.
Yeah, or evolve the crush into a relationship.
That is the only way that can progress.
That's so bad. That's so bad. I've had so many crushes in my life, Kevin.
Or you have to, or if you can have some sort of like weird, like new wave movement where like you, where it ascends to a friendship. But I've never seen that in a sitcom.
No, it's not the storytelling sitcoms.
No, that's not how sitcoms work.
No, either you burn out horribly.
Yeah.
In which case that is no longer salvageable. Or you succeed and it becomes a like lifelong partnership almost.
Like penguins.
Unless you're Ross or Rachel.
Hey, I think that ended with them together, right?
It did. Of course it did.
Good, who cares?
Yeah.
They were the least interesting characters on Friends.
Yeah, but I think actually the universe that best exemplifies this sort of like reset is Cheers.
Oh, no, yeah, Cheers is pretty great.
Yeah. Like, it's the same characters saying the same type of jokes over and over to the same people.
Well, it seems like you have to be careful that you don't get stuck in what I'm going to call a Cheers loop. Because if you're stuck in a Cheers loop, you will go to the same place, meet the same people, have different things happen, but they all go along the same lines.
Yeah.
Now, Frasier got out of the Cheers loop.
He did.
He did.
He reached terminal velocity.
And he was freed from the gravitational pull
of the black hole of Cheers. Which, of course, is centered around Norm.
Norm, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Norm! Whoa!
I mean, really, all the other characters go through, like, beats and emotional moments. No. Norm is always depressed. He's always unhappy with his wife. He's always drinking lots, and apparently he goes to other bars and does the same thing. He's not on a week loop, Kevin.
Oh, no.
He's Norm. On like a 3-day loop.
Oh, no. Maybe that's the thing that can happen. Norm.
Yeah.
So it goes from Norm to Norm.
Norm, we need to talk.
Norm, this can't be your Norm, Norm. You need to find a new Norm, Norm.
Yeah.
Norm, we're all worried about you, Norm.
You're just having fun saying Norm.
Stop saying my name. Please stop.
Quick, somebody, I don't know, do something really romantic with Norm and break him out of his his thing.
We need to find a romantic opposite for Norm.
I mean, there isn't one. Like, he's explicitly taken.
Yeah.
And in a sitcom, if you're taken, you can only cheat on your partner if you're really hot. And Norm is not.
But what if Norm was taken too?
Well, then he'd be dead because Liam Neeson would kill him. He's obviously not Liam Neeson.
Oh my God. Can you imagine a Taken movie with Norm as the villain? Or yeah. as the hero? Just a Taken movie with Norm.
Listen to me very carefully. Be quiet, though. Just soft. Just soft. I have a particular set of skills, and I challenge you to a drinking contest at this bar. Be there or be square.
Where everybody knows your name.
I mean, I feel like, here's the thing. If you take out the happy Cheers theme music and you just have like sad music, like you have a sonata or something. Do, 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 do. Hello, Norm. Sits down. I'll have a beer. Do, do, do. Like it actually becomes what it is.
The camera pans out and goes all goes monochrome.
Yeah,
and...
no, it pans out and he's the only one in the bar because it's 1 a.m.
The bar's closed. He just broke in.
Yeah.
He's the only place he can feel like at home.
Yeah.
Not even in his own home.
Okay, so we should probably talk about what the world will be like.
Okay.
Instead of going down the black hole that is the Norm rabbit hole.
Okay, well... So people will fall into patterns so much easier, like incredibly easier. And I will say that you could say that, you know, but someone, you know, gets like addicted to drugs or something and that's it. It depends.
Yeah.
Because there have been times where people have had a drinking problem for an episode.
Yep. It all depends on the impact, right?
Yeah.
Like there's... some episodes in Seinfeld, I'm sure, where Kramer is high. Right? But
yeah.
Specific drug use does not become part of his character, only that he is into doing sketchy shit all the time.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Right? But I'm going to keep talking about Kramer here.
No, go ahead.
Because there's also another phenomenon that centers around Kramer that I don't think is in any other sitcom.
Okay.
Kramer is somehow... exceedingly attractive to the opposite sex. It is canon.
Yeah?
He seduces a nun about to take her vow of celibacy by standing.
Oh, I mean, he's got that that confidence, that Kramer confidence.
Yeah, that Kramer confidence, right? But here's the thing. I think it's just, it happened a couple times, and then it became part of his social norm.
Okay. If someone became aware of these patterns, if they could make something occur multiple times and people start thinking that was the way that it worked,
yeah.
You actually are putting actual self into the world.
Yep.
It's like when you have the characters who are, you know, like clumsy. All you gotta do is fall down a few times and people are like, oh man, they're clumsy. Now you're locked in.
You're clumsy forever.
Forever.
Because how do you get out of that one?
No, you have to like...
You have to somehow be coordinated.
Yeah.
I guess the only way you get out of that is with a montage.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you gotta complete it in a week.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Or else it's just gonna snap back and reset.
Yep.
Okay, so... So what you do becomes what you are so much more.
Yeah.
Like, if everybody sees you as one thing, whether or not that makes sense, you are that thing.
Yep.
So you could, like, go out and try to manipulate things.
You could, but again, I think the only people who might be aware are, like, super intelligent people.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they're aware of, like, this actually being a cosmic fact.
Yeah.
But I think if you see patterns, then it goes into just a human instinct of confidence.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, to be fair, no one wants to be the clumsy one.
There'd be a bunch of self-help things being like, here are five things you can do every week to change your life.
Do the same thing, and then 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 the same thing.
Yeah. Do that for 3 weeks, and then you'll just keep on being that way.
Remember, you'll try to not do it. You need to do it.
Yeah.
For some reason, every week, you will think, this isn't me. No, you must make sure it's you.
Okay, so I think what happens is that people form into like pods more often. Like, yeah. I think everyone has a close inner circle.
Well, you have the sitcom group.
Right. But yeah. like that's going to happen with everybody.
Yes.
Right.
You're going to have five or six close people.
Yeah. And that's your group.
Yeah.
And then every once in a while, you're going to like brush with somebody else's group.
Yeah, we can call it a crossover.
Yeah, a crossover. The Mercy Hospital crossover.
Sometimes these groups will be family units that all live together.
Yep.
I mean, that makes sense why in sitcoms a lot of the families have like children who are older than they should be living there.
Yeah, it's because they can't escape. It's the norm.
It's because they have not had their snap out.
They haven't.
Like, they should go. They need to go to university.
They got to go to college.
Yeah, yeah. And then bam.
Or they got to go on some crazy adventure.
Exactly.
Or they need to find the love of their life or something like that.
Yeah, you need something to snap you out of that house or else you're going to live there forever.
If you live a boring, mundane life, you live with your parents forever.
And your parents are fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just like, they know he lives here. He always does. It is an interesting thing that it's a world where people really get stuck into patterns.
It is.
Yeah. Like, but like by decree of, you know, God, you are stuck in patterns.
You are. You are. And really, it's only happenstance or chance that can change that.
Okay. Yeah, I know. So if you're in these patterns, what steps you out of them? Like, what is the big thing? Because we said that even...
Well, I think it's big life changes and character growth, right?
Yeah.
Like, for instance, if we're going to use us as an example.
Yeah.
When we started this podcast, right, the first few weeks that we did this, it probably would have been like, what? I was supposed to do something today. And then try really hard to remember. And then they'll be like, oh, yeah, I was supposed to do this. Or like you wrote it on a calendar and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I did this. But now, and this is true for both of us, I think, we miss a week doing podcasts with each other and we're like, what day is it?
I think like writing things down becomes very like memento style, tattooing them on your skin.
Well, maybe not tattooing because you'll run out of space.
Learn to ride a bike. Okay, tattoo.
I mean, I don't know about skills.
You know,
I think skills might stick.
Okay.
Because remember, this is only the social order.
Right?
Like,
so the skills are not interests.
You would always be clumsy, for instance, right? Because that affects your standing in the social order.
Yeah.
But if you tried to learn gymnastics, you would still know gymnastics, but it wouldn't be part of your identity unless people started like coming to see you do gymnastics.
Then you're the gymnastics
then you're,
person.
Then you're the gymnast,
and that is your
and
new
you
arc.
Become and you become. Infinitely more flexible and attractive.
As per the rules.
As per the rules of sitcoms.
Yeah, but you could also become infinitely more weird.
Yep.
Yeah. All within the rules of sitcoms. Now, I think you have to be careful, though.
Do you think that's what happened with Kramer? He was a normal guy, and then just, like, this weird, like, chain of events just makes him become weirder and weirder and weirder.
Oh, definitely. He was just a normal man. Working in an office.
And there was a door that was jammed.
Yeah. And someone would be like...
So he had to push it really hard and then step through quick because it would slam shut really fast.
Yeah.
And that's why he opens doors like that all the time.
And people are like, Kramer. He's like, please call me by my first name. They're like, Kramer.
Kramer.
Kramer's his last name, right?
Yeah. Cosmo Kramer.
All right. Yeah. Please call me Cosmo. No, we're going to call you Kramer. I would much rather prefer you called me by my first name.
That's right. Cosmo, for cosmonaut.
For I am Cosmonaut Kramer.
Dun, dun, dun.
Cold War sleeper agent who was never activated.
But here's the thing. Maybe Frasier didn't escape.
Okay.
Because, like, think about what Frasier's group is in Cheers, really.
Yeah.
He doesn't really interact with Norm.
Yeah.
He doesn't really interact with John Ratzenberger's character.
All right.
He interacts with the bartender.
Yeah.
The bartender's love interest.
Yeah.
And sometimes the younger bartender and the older bartender.
Boy, I wish we knew more of the...
More of the names in Cheers?
Woody Harrelson was in.
Yeah.
Wasn't he Woody?
Yeah, he was Woody. I'm pretty sure he was Woody.
'Cause
Sam was the bartender.
Yeah, yeah.
And Coach was the old guy.
Yeah, and he died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But,
so, right,
so that's like his group in that.
Yeah.
Right. But we talked before, like family, like there's so many families in sitcoms because they're a pod, right?
Yeah.
So he still has that attachment. And it might only be like one or two people, but you very like Frasier's not in every episode.
Yeah.
Well, right. He comes in because he's like brought in initially by it's the only character I can't remember her name is the love interest.
Can't it's remember. It's not Rhea Perlman. She's the other.
No, bartender. she's the fiery waitress. She's
the fiery waitress.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I can't remember either.
But that's who brings him
Christy.
In.
Christy. Cheers, knowledge.
Yeah, but she brings him in.
Yeah.
Right? And then he doesn't even really super become in the pod with anybody else. Like, this is his pod and her pod intersecting.
Now, but, I mean, to be fair, like...
He does leave the pod.
In between Cheers and Frasier, like he got a spinoff, really, is what he got.
He was what he got.
Yeah, he got a spinoff. And because he was married in Cheers and his wife was terrible. I guess they got a divorce.
Yeah.
And then he went to Seattle, because I don't think Cheers is in Seattle.
No, I don't. I think it's in New York.
Sorry?
New York.
Okay. so he went to toss salad and scrambled eggs, Seattle.
Yeah.
And that's where his new story started. Yeah. I guess moving is
divorce
automatically moving? Breaks you out.
Yep.
Yeah, like if you ever feel like you're in a rut, just move away.
Although going on vacation is much more dangerous now.
No. Because the vacation is a special episode.
You're right.
You have to make sure you go on vacation with everyone in your pod.
Yeah.
But vacation is fine.
Yeah. Well, but if you go by yourself and it's for like 3 months.
Yeah. You gotta be careful. You could snap into a new pod.
Even if it's 3 weeks. Right.
You never know what could happen out there. You could stab into a new pod. Now you're stuck there.
Now you're stuck.
But all your stuff's back home.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What are you going to do?
It's a great first episode.
Why do you refer to everything like that? It's an episode. It's an episode of your life.
Yeah. It's, a series of events. It's an episode.
Yeah. It's like a situational comedy.
It's a contained period within my life.
It usually asks about a week, but I'd say if you just took the interesting parts, probably cut it down to about 22 minutes.
Yeah. if it's really complicated, you can go up to 44.
But, I mean, you don't normally see that when something's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually comedy only lasts about 22 minutes. Why are you talking like this? I'm having a stroke. Call the ambulance.
I'm autistic.
This will be a great first episode. Boy, I'm getting a lot of series.
This is my third spinoff.
The smartest man in the world who realizes he's in a TV show.
The thing is, he's not.
I mean, no, he's not, but you can treat it like it.
Yeah. Here's actually something else that happens.
Yeah.
Like, really bad injuries... Only last a week.
No, exactly. Like
unless they're genital related.
What?
Okay.
I think it's
so
more
there
likely.
There have been instances where somebody has like a broken arm.
Yeah.
Right? Or they've been in a car accident. They have bad whiplash. And it's only that episode that they have that.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm sure, 100% sure there's been episodes about, like, vasectomy or, like, being hit in the junk. And, like, it just keeps happening over and over and over.
No, but that's different because the injury still only lasts for that episode.
Oh, you're right.
Or maybe that scene. But
you're just injury prone.
But if it happens too much, then you are the guy who gets hit in the dick.
All the time.
All the time.
Not in a happy way.
Every single week. You're going to get one nut shot.
At least one.
At least one.
On a really bad week, maybe three or four.
If it sweeps week, maybe five.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. But like, the injuries aren't lightly, unless if they're permanently, like, disfiguring and, like, life-changing. No, they're gone after a week.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, no, healthcare is weird.
Yeah, I mean, you still do need to get treated.
No, yeah, you do.
You still have to go to the hospital. You're just healed much faster.
Oh, my. It looks like you snapped your arm directly in half. That's pretty rough. Well, we're going to put a cast on it, and you should be good in about 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be doing cartwheels again in 5 days.
Good as new.
Good as new. Oh, you're hitting the junk? I'd be very careful. Don't let that happen any more times. I've seen this weird trend where someone who gets hit in the junk, it just keeps happening.
And here's another really weird thing about medicine is that sometimes a pregnancy lasts for several years, and sometimes it lasts 3 months. Right? Like, there are different time periods for pregnancies in these sitcoms.
Congratulations, you're pregnant. We can expect the baby in about 12 weeks to 3 years. Sorry, what? 12 weeks to 3 years.
Yeah, 12 weeks or 156 weeks.
Now, don't get me wrong. I will tell you when the baby is coming. You'll know it.
You will know.
It'll happen at one point.
It'll happen.
Probably when you least expect it. Maybe you'll get trapped in an elevator. Maybe in a taxi. You'll probably just reach the
oh,
hospital.
Oh, no.
Just barely
just
in time.
Just barely in time. But don't worry. You'll be recovered from that really long pregnancy next week.
Do you want to get a commercial?
Sure.
Let's get a commercial.
This week's episode of The Third Space is brought to you by the Republic of Madagascar.
Yes, that's tiny island off the coast of Africa.
That's right, that won its independence from France on June 26th in 1960 and updated their constitution in just 2010. With a population of 24.5 million and a GDP of 9.74 billion.
Boy, those are some fun facts right off the top of our head. These are facts we know about Madagascar.
That's right. So thanks for sponsoring us, Republic of Madagascar.
I like your movies.
But they don't make those.
Oh, no. Something I was thinking about this is that, so we talked a little bit about how the fact that there are pods and different, like, you know, things like that, that, like, there's different groups.
Yeah.
Is everybody necessarily in a group, or do you have... Wait, do you have one-offs? Because, you know, there are characters which are, they're just the one-shot characters who are way too ridiculous to ever think of them having, like, their own storyline.
Here's the thing. There's two groups of people that fall into the anomalies category.
All right.
Right? One, there's people who become these weird butterflies, and they're so eccentric that they can never establish themselves in a pod.
Okay, so not actual butterflies.
No.
Okay.
So these are the oddballs that you're talking about.
Yeah.
That come in and they, like, brush up. Maybe they are ridiculously attractive and they're there to drive a wedge into a pod.
Yeah.
But eventually they get pushed out because friends are more important.
Yeah.
Than that.
Than that.
Than that. And then they go off to the next place and they constantly wander. And they're always being social. Every week they're social.
Yeah.
Every week they have, like, sex 3 times with somebody. But
they are a lone wanderer, never long in one place.
Although
they must hit the dusty trail.
Yeah, there is one exception to this.
Yeah.
If they meet enough other weirdos at the same time, they form their own pod, and that's when you get a sitcom like Community.
Okay. Okay. So it's possible that, like, that you could have on the oddball the weirdos, like,
yeah,
eventually finding a pod, but it can only be with other ones.
Weirdos.
You can have at most one straight man,
yeah,
or straight woman, and, but, like,
yeah, well, and you need one,
yeah,
in for the pod to work, which is when I get
the
to the second group.
Okay,
the second group are people who, for whatever reason, their pods disintegrated slowly, like. Within their pod, people started having life experiences that took them away into other pods. They got married, moved to college, got a divorce.
The funding ran out, and they decided to cancel the show in exchange for something that's maybe new and better. And maybe they're going to try to put this person into a new show that maybe they can sound their own.
Well,
it turns out they're not so good without the rest of the group there. Joey!
Yeah, right? And then that person is stuck alone.
Yeah.
They don't have Wacky Zanny adventures because they're a boring normal person, right?
Yeah.
And because that becomes the norm of their life, it's a pattern of them being alone.
Oh, man.
Super sad.
Yeah, this is very sad.
But here is the salvation. If there is a rare crossroads of several weirdos at once around a lonely straight person, not straight sexually.
Oh, but, we got it. You got it. The comedy term.
Then that's when they will form the eclectic pod.
Okay, but like that's the thing.
Bound
like,
together by their loneliness.
Like that person cannot be absorbed into another pod.
No.
That person has to create its own pod off of the weirdos.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to say that it is possible for a weirdo to find a pod and hang out with them enough that they... Some of their weirdness gets
John
a little
Ratzenberger's
toned.
Character.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, they're in the pod.
Yeah.
And no one can quite understand when it happened. But they're in it.
They're in it.
They're there.
Why are my friends with you? That is the thought that you have all the time. You're like, why is this person here? Why are we friends with this person?
Well, it's this interesting thing where, like, let's talk about Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Those people are cruel to each other.
They are.
Yeah. There's no way any of those people will be friends with any of those other people. But, which means that can happen, which means that if like the ribbing, the making fun of someone, the doing a joke that only works if there's an audience, doing a joke that only works if there's an audience watching you, like that's a lot more endearing, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Now, is there an audience watching you?
No, there's not.
But you're treating it like it is. Maybe even you like make fun of someone. You pause for the imaginary laugh track.
I mean, here's the thing: if you do that as a joke enough, if like there was a period in university where I was like practicing to be on film in my mind by pretending I was in a sitcom all the time.
Yeah, all right.
So I only spoke in puns. And I was in the background of a lot of scenes, and I would just, like, punch up the scene with a funny joke.
So what you mean is you had a lot of puns. You sat in the back of the room and waited for your moment to strike.
Yes.
Like some sort of pun viper.
Yes, like a pun viper striking with my deadly poison.
Just sitting there, just sitting in the corner, just like...
I mean, I did do a white noise experiment in university once. What? Did I tell you about this?
Oh, no. I didn't hear about this.
I sat in the club room for the department I was in.
Yeah.
And they had these plastic tabs. So I sat in the background when nobody was there. And I just started lifting them up and like letting them fall down. And then people would come in and do their work or hang out. And I did that for about 40 minutes straight.
Yeah.
Just like a little bit of white noise. And then I stopped.
Yeah.
And literally everyone in the room looked up and was like, something is different. Something is different.
Well, it's a change. It's a change in their environment.
It is, but they couldn't pinpoint it.
I remember that. I remember those little tabs. What were those from?
Because people like playing board games and shit. So that people just would like bring shit in so you could like put tabs on stuff. They were like game pieces if you ever needed something.
I guess. Okay. All right.
I mean, people played Magic the Gathering in that room. Of course there were 20 million tabs. So they can use them as counters and hit points. And
sure. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of tabs. No tab soda, though.
Nope. None of that.
Nope. All right. So you have people... being weird and going off on their own and finding other weird people and creating an eclectic sitcom.
But remember, you need a straight person.
Yeah, they are the glue that holds everything, the mortar of these weird people together.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they sort of like stick on them. Okay, and then
slowly they become more eccentric.
Well, I mean, you got to change that. Yeah. Then you got the pods that are just like there and are just like holding on. One thing that's interesting about this is that it becomes a lot harder to have, like we talk about them sitting together, it becomes a lot harder to have a lifelong friend.
Yeah.
Like, could you have a Laverne and Shirley type, like, two-person thing?
Yeah. I mean, I think these aren't sitcoms, but when you think of, like, Shaun of the Dead, that is a pod that is not even separated by death. It's a two-person pod.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And I also think you can have, like, a pod within a pod. Think about several sitcoms.
Yeah.
Friends, Joey and Chandler.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Cheers, Norm and John Ratzenberger's character.
So they're gonna be pods within pods.
Yeah, well, there's different levels of closeness.
Oh, yeah?
Right? Like, in Frasier and his dad.
I think that's actually the thing that usually is. Usually there is sort of like a grand pod, mm-hmm. which is like the pod that everyone in this group goes to. And then usually everyone pairs off. Usually it's like in Scrubs, JD and Turk.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, those two are unbreakable.
They're unbreakable.
Unbreakable. but occasionally, like, you'll have things where it's like, oh, these two do things all together. These people haven't had much of an interaction. We should probably have them, like...
Yeah.
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 And that's what you get when it's, like, the pods are actually, like, intersecting a little bit within the grand pod.
Yep. Yeah.
You get those episodes.
Well, I mean, eventually grand pods can grow, right?
Yeah.
So, in Friends, it sort of became, like, a Chandler, Joey, Monica.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's people that try and resist their grand pod, and that's Ross and Rachel.
Yeah, you don't have to want to be in the grand pod to be in the grand pod.
No.
And sometimes it really can expand, like back to Scrubs when they brought in all the all the intern characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. All those ones, they entered into the grand pod.
The grand pod.
Welcome to the grand pod of the hospital. Because there's other people who work at that hospital, but you can't say that they're within the pod.
They're not.
No, the Todd's in the pod.
Todd's in the pod.
But all those extras in the background, they got their own pod going on.
Todd's kind of at the edge of the pod.
No, yeah, no, you're going wrong. But he's,
so is Ted.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And they have a pod between themselves. There actually legitimately is a pod. There's the brain trust with the janitor makes.
Yeah.
But the janitor's in, like, the main pod, technically.
I feel like it's just those two pods that intersect all the time.
The janitor is his own pod who just... I like our Sweet Scrub references you're making right now. I really hope you guys have all watched Scrubs.
Yeah.
If you haven't, you should, but not all at once. No, oh my God, do not do it all. Don't binge watch Scrubs.
I mean, later in Scrubs... They take sort of three grand pods and they put them all together for a bunch of episodes. Well, they take JD and Chloe.
No. The grand pods are the big ones.
I know, but they become, like, at this point, they're huge parts of the show.
All right.
Right? There's Turk and, oh, I can't remember her name.
Who?
His wife, his girlfriend.
Oh, oh boy. Yeah. Carla,
yeah, and then there's the mentor doctor and the girl and Carrie from Drew Carey.
Jesse McGinley, I can't remember. Dr. Cox
and his ex-wife who is from the Drew Carey show.
Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And they take them all and they just become this thing like, these are the couples now.
No, yeah, but once again, I think the grand pod is the hospitals, everyone. It's Kelso and JD and Turk and Carla, like all those ones in the grand pod.
Yeah.
Even the janitors in the grand pod.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so you're saying grand pod is bigger. I was thinking,
No.
I was thinking grand pod is like the small ones like super tight.
No, grand. There's a grand pod and then there's pods and then there's subpods.
Subpods. Okay. So those are the really close ones.
Yeah. Like, okay, let's keep using Scrubs. Let's do Scrubs. So the grand pod
I don't know. I can't do this all on my own.
I'm no Superman.
Yay!
okay, so you have the grand pod.
Yeah.
And the grand pod is everybody. The grand pod is
in
Ted.
The hospital.
No, not in the hospital.
Oh, you're right. Everybody.
Everybody who's in, like, you see in Scrubs.
Yeah.
It is Kelso and Dr. Cox and JD and even all the ones where it's like, you get like Ted and the Todd, and like all the people who are there consistently, like there's people who like are there in one season and come back and like they do those things. They aren't in the grand pod. They are the one-offs who slide in and out.
Okay,
but that's the grand pod. Then the pod itself, that is just JD, Turk, Carla,
Chloe.
Who's Chloe?
Oh, am I saying?
I mean Elliot.
Wrong? Yeah, I mean Elliot. Why do I? Whoa.
No.
Maybe her act.
No, Sarah Talk.
Oh no. Okay, I don't know where then. Don't know where, but it's definitely Elliot.
Yeah, it's Elliot. You know, those four. That is the pod. That is a pod.
Yeah.
And then, like, I would say that Kelso and
Dr. Cox.
Dr. Cox. And some of the other staff are another pod.
Yeah.
And those are pods. And then within that, there are sub-pods. And those can keep going down. Now, I think in Scrubs, like JD and Turk, that's a sub-pod.
Yeah.
They try to have Elliot and Carla be a sub-pod. It
doesn't work, though.
It doesn't work. They just do that because they're like, ladies.
Well, no, really what it is, it's like, oh, well, our boyfriends are hanging out and love each other so much.
Except for JD and Elliot are not always boyfriend and girlfriend.
No.
In fact, they are less. At least they didn't do the Ross and Rachel thing where it's constantly changing.
Yeah.
No,
it lasted for a while, usually.
You know, yeah, usually it lasted for, like, you know, a few episodes or, like, a season or so. And then at the end, then it's just, like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
But then a very weird thing happened in Scrubs. And they started adding in all these other people into the pod.
Yeah.
Like, all these, like, interns and stuff. And then something incredible happened, which is the entire pod changed. But, like, the pod stayed the same.
Well, their roles changed.
Well, no. Because you know, a big change happened. JD was leaving the hospital, all those things.
Yeah.
And then they were at a school, and there were a bunch of new people.
Yeah.
And also JD was there for a while, and Turk came in every so often.
Yeah.
Like, the part
where they were like, we should transition from these characters into new characters.
The pod got very fractured and weird.
Yeah. It was a pod that got too big. It couldn't sustain itself.
Yeah. It crumbled, and, like, someone...
They kept on trying to reform because nobody was changing anything in their lives.
But, and, like, someone who was one of the part of, like, the new interns were there. Some of the old people were also there as well.
Yeah.
And then there's these new people come in, and the pod was, like, trying
to... My God, Kevin, it was in a state of flux.
It was trying to hold itself together, and it was, like, bursting out.
It's gonna explode.
And then there was, like, Garden State over here. And then, like, you go back in time, and there's Clueless, and you have Donald Faison in it.
Can't believe you brought up Clueless.
Do you know that there's, in the first episode of the OC, there's a man who looks like all older Donald Faison, not the OC, Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah.
There's a man who looks like an older version of Donald Faison, and I'm like, did Donald Faison go back in time and get a job in 90210?
No.
I occasionally go and I check out, like, Donald Faison's like Instagram and stuff just to see how he's doing.
Is he doing good?
He's doing fine,
He's doing okay, that's good.
Him and Zach Braff are still seems like still pretty close.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just gotta check on Donald Faison every so often.
Sure. I mean, we didn't really talk that much about what actually happens in this world. There's some weird idiosyncrasies.
Like what?
Like the medicine stuff, like hospital and pregnancy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So, like that stuff becomes less important in a way. Like the thing is that the big things, like if somebody has, like, their arm cut off, that's permanent. But it like, heals after. Like, the mental stuff remains.
Yeah.
But, like, they're fine usually after a...
Yeah, well, they don't get their arm back, but the wound is all closed and healed after a week.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, there's not many times, like, we don't have much real-life examples of that.
Yeah.
There's usually times where, like, a character might get in, like, a car accident and be in a coma for a while.
Yeah, but see, then we're getting out of sitcom and more into soap opera.
Yeah.
Like, there's a couple shows like 91210 that is sort of soap opera, sort of sitcom.
It's more of just a drama.
Right? But it does... like, follow a lot of sitcom rules.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few things that we just can't use, though they have had these dramatic moments, and it's like, we can't use My Name is Earl, because there literally is growth in that one.
Yeah, well, it's a sitcom about growth.
Yeah, so there's just is in it.
Yeah.
Man, could you imagine if that was in this world, there's just one where it's like, hang on, that guy keeps changing.
What's up with that?
But his pods remain the same.
How do you keep learning lessons?
Oh, how are you doing this? Stop it.
Stop it. It's weird.
Stop it, Earl. You know what I should do? I should check out the guy who played Crab Man, see how he's doing.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, you should.
See if he's doing fine.
You can add that to your list of weird celebrities to check up on every once in a while. But no, I mean, there's always going to be groups. Like, the thing is, if growth becomes a thing that you do consistently, it becomes a pattern too.
Okay, then that's a different kind of sitcom.
It's a different kind of sitcom.
That does mean you have to, that every single week you are growing.
Yeah, you are growing or changing in some way.
Which means you have something like dramatic happen to you every single week.
Yep.
Which, I mean, to be fair, I mean, other sitcoms, something happens to you.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be big and dramatic. Oh my God, if you're stuck in a, going back to Scrubs, if you're stuck in a Scrubs sitcom,
yeah,
man, every single week someone is dying or you're learning a great big lesson about life. And I mean, to be fair, you're a doctor, so.
Yeah.
But if you're stuck, sitcom and you're not a doctor.
If you're stuck in Corner Gas, nothing ever changes, ever.
No. Ever.
There are petty disputes that are always solved by the end of the week.
Yeah. Which I feel like most of them will be.
Yeah, and if you're, like, the chances of you getting into a relationship are so rare. Like, so rare. Think about Corner Gas. There's only one relationship during the entire show, and that's Oscar and his wife.
Well, I mean,
Emily?
What?
Isn't Oscar and Emily?
I can't remember.
I think it's
I don't even think his name is Oscar. Brent Butt's dad and Brent Butt's mom.
Yes.
Brent Butt. Anyway, his name's Brent, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's one of those shows.
Yep.
Him and the...
Lacey.
Lacey, yeah. I mean, they have a thing.
They have flirting.
Yeah.
But they never get together.
No, they never get together.
Never get together.
Man, not even his dumb friend.
Nope.
Boy, that should have skirted the whole... It's still a great show.
It is a great show.
But they just skirted the romance thing all around it.
Yep.
Man, I love Corner Gas.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great Canadian.
They're doing an animated one now.
I'm not as excited about that.
Neither am I. But a lot of the original cast is coming back to voice.
I mean, yeah. I don't think they have much else going on.
That's fair. I mean, it's still nice.
Yeah, it's still nice. It's still nice.
Yeah.
Good Saskatchewan comedy.
Yep.
My favorite part of the show is the... First one when, like, the opening for the entire show is the guy drives up to get gas, and he says, kind of flat around here, huh? And Brent's character goes, you can't see it. I'm looking side to side. He goes, huh? Huh? I guess you're right. And I'm like, yeah, all right.
That's straight from the Canadian Handbook of Jokes.
I'm the joke book, we call it. I'm into the show and just be like, you know what? You're right. It is good observation.
Good observation, yeah. You're in the mountains? Sure is rocky around here. What?
What? That's what it...
What?
What?
What
are you...
No.
What are you...
No.
No.
What?
No. No.
Go away, dog. Hey, Kevin, how them dogs doing?
We've been loud, and the dog is upset and wants on your lap.
And that's how the dog is doing.
All right. Well, what other weird idiosyncrasies are you going to find in this world? Cool visual jokes on an audio medium. There's a dog messing with you. All right, what other weird idiosyncrasies are we going to see? Because, like, so there's the medicine. How does sports work? Like,
I mean, sports are happening, but they only happen on the they're only happening on the periphery of pods, unless that pod is all about watching the sport, right? Like, we don't see any sitcoms like that, but there could be one. There could be one like that. And then the team itself is some sort of grand pod, and there's probably subpods in it.
Yeah. Okay, so the weird thing where, like, nothing...
You know what actually probably changes?
What?
The way countries are set up.
Okay.
Because...
The grandest pod of them all.
Well, no, like, the only way somebody becomes a ruler in this world is by being authoritative over and over again. And it's not just they act that way, like, stuff has to happen to them where people listen to them and look to them for leadership.
Okay, well, I mean, like,
or is it just like, does it never get out of tribal?
Like,
stuff would still advance technologically, I think, at the normal rate.
Yeah, no, I'd say it would go, because what you need is for someone to be like, I will be in charge, and as long as you're able to get in charge within that week,
yeah,
or have a big step towards it within that week,
yeah,
then they have progressed the next step.
Is there a sitcom that does that?
Veep.
I don't know.
No, I want to say it's a sitcom.
Yeah,
but it's about the that's about the vice president and stuff. It's the thing. It has Julie
House of Cards. I guess that's not a drama. Sitcom. It's more of a drama.
House of Cards is not a sitcom.
Yeah.
Someone gets pushed in front of a train in that show. I mean, a sitcom.
That could happen in Corner Gas.
I mean, they'd see it.
They'd be okay. But.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
No. It's I would say that, like, when you start doing something, it is so important that you pick up on it immediately.
Yeah.
If you're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run for president of the United States, or I'm going to run for prime minister of France, or I'm going to run for wherever you are.
Yeah.
You're going to choose, I'm going to run for this. You have to make a big changing step in that first week.
Yeah.
Or else you're like, no, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. When you make that decision, you have to be like, I'm moving to Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it has to be things should start on, like, cause I was thinking, like, Sunday at midnight, so essentially, like, Monday is when everything restarts.
Okay, so we're doing, like, the Cinderella rule.
I was thinking that, yeah.
Okay.
But to be fair, it's not a snap,
it's a gradual, but that's where you need to make the change by.
Yeah. Some things get a little bit closer, sometimes it's like, I really felt like you were setting something up, and then that's not really resolved.
This also means that when things happen later in the week, they're more likely to stick.
Because
we've said it's like every Sunday.
I think earlier in the week is later stick. Because you decide to do something early in the week means you have more time to make it something.
Or, because you do something earlier in the week, it has more time to return to equilibrium.
I think it depends on how much you're pushing against it.
Yeah, here's the thing. If something happens to you Sunday at 10 p.m.
It might just snap back.
You said there's no snapback.
Well, no. But here's the thing. It can happen. Like, think of sitcoms where something happens at the last minute. Usually that doesn't usually carry on.
Yeah.
Usually there's one final gag where someone
That's true. There's the final gag all the time.
Yeah. But if something starts the episode and the episode starts with someone being like, I am going to run for Prime Minister of Canada.
Yeah.
You run to be the leader of a party.
I think there's a joke in a sitcom somewhere where you don't see a character, like, all episode.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, for the final joke, they come in. And they're like, hey, I haven't seen you around. What were you doing?
Oh, in Community, Abed was delivering a baby.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He had
just had a super productive day.
Yeah, he's not seen for the episode. But in the background of all those shots, he's, like, meeting a woman. And then later he meets her again. And, like, her boyfriend gets upset at him. And then she starts going to labor. Then later he's, like, delivering a baby. And then later, someone says, hey, where were you? And he looks over and he sees the woman with her baby. He's like, I'm just around. Yeah, no. Like that happened. Yeah. Yeah. But like, if you start an episode a week and be like, I am going to do this, if you can make that step, I think having more time to make the step and make it something that locks in.
Okay, I guess you are correct. Although I feel like there are some times where something happens, like, right at the end of the week.
Yeah.
That is, it cannot snap back.
Yeah, well, I mean, like once again, that's completely...
Like, somebody dies.
I mean, that does not snap back.
Yeah, it does not snap
back. That is a big change. Doesn't matter where in the week that happens.
Yeah.
It's probably going to change some stuff.
Yep.
But not always.
Not always.
Sometimes someone dies, and then you just sort of move on.
Yeah. That's what happens when they were ancillary to everything else.
I will say, sometimes what will happen is that someone will die at the end of the week, and then your next week is about that, but then it'll return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a very special episode. Anything else? Anything we need to summarize?
No, I think that's good.
Cool.
All right. Hey, if you like that episode, you should let us know. You can do that on iTunes, or you can leave us a rating, a review. Those really helps people find us.
That's right. And a lot of the other podcatchers use that as the metric
as
well. Yeah. So it will help us grow across the entire spectrum.
The entire pod.
The entire grand pod.
You will make us reach the grandest of all pods. The podcast.
If you'd like to talk to us, you can do so at Twitter. We're at Third Space Cast. You can talk to Kevin if you'd like.
I'm at Strawman K. Weir.
And you can talk to me at Mighty Thews.
You can send us an email at
thirdspacepodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can check out our website,
thirdspacepodcast.com.
Actually, before we do that, I just wanted to give a quick plug for myself. I just launched a online content creation
Kevin making company. Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin making media.
Yeah, yeah. So you can check us out. It's we do sketches, we do gameplay videos, we do another like more of like a video podcast, and a web series called The Ghostening. So the company is called Downtime Productions. The web series is called The Ghostening. It's two separate channels, but you can find both of them on YouTube. And you should check it out. You can see what else I do.
Yeah, and I also have something.
Yeah.
Because I did a guest spot on another podcast.
Yes.
A podcast called The Guys From.
Yeah.
Where they answer questions sent in by the internet. So people actually talk to them.
And you answer those questions.
That's right. It should be already up. It's episode 167 of their podcast. And it is about an hour and a half long.
All right. So that's going up tomorrow.
For us, yes.
Oh.
But right. For them,
it's already up.
For them, it's already up. It's been up for 2 days.
All right. Hey, now you know our timeline. So check out Jeremy on the Guys From podcast.
That's right. And hopefully we can have Sean over for a guest spot here eventually.
That'd be great. Yeah. All right. And the theme song of the podcast.
Here's Balrog Boogie by the Diablo Swing Orchestra.
You're supposed to be the tired one. I just can't talk.
Running on that green tea. Join us next week on the Third Space when everything is green.
You can't see it. Oh, but it's there.
You can hear it though.
Yeah.
A very green sound.
It'll be very, very, very green.
Until then, you're a cool person who lives in a cool place.